Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast with me, Nate Langson.
And me, Ian Morris.
And if you're one of our Patreon supporters, this is your extended ad-free version of the show. Thank you to patrons, including our latest, Paulie Moo. We've also got Mr. Shouty, who we'll hear from in a little bit in an email, Richard Taylor, and many others who are supporting us directly. You can join them and get access to our full-length ad-free show, our Patreon-exclusive weekly sister show, Extra Message, and a whole bunch more by going to patreon.com/UK Tech. You can support your favourite podcasters directly. You can. If we're them, you can support us directly. And welcome to everyone who's listening live in chat, including Paulie Moo, who is here for the first time listening to us live. Welcome to you, my friend. Ian, shall we talk about care homes?
No, I've decided that just introducing myself is the only contribution I shall make this week. Okay. And leave you to freestyle. Yes, of course, we can talk about care homes, mate.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Well, robots that can hold simple conversations and learn people's interests are to be deployed in some UK care homes after trials in the UK and Japan found they boosted mental health and reduced loneliness, according to a write-up in The Guardian. Older adults in care homes who interacted with the robots for up to 18 hours across 2 weeks had a significant improvement in their mental health, according to the findings. The newspaper wrote that the wheeled robots, and these are the Pepper ones, the SoftBank made ones. You'll have seen them around, around town. You probably haven't seen them around town, but you'll have seen them on the internet, move independently, and they gesture with these robotic arms and hands and things. And they are designed to be, quote, culturally competent, which means that after some initial programming, they are able to learn about the interests and backgrounds of residents, which in this case are those in care homes. This also allows them to initiate rudimentary conversations and play residents' favourite music, teach them languages, and offer practical help, including medicine reminders. The Guardian continues, the researchers, led by Dr. Chris Papadopoulos at the University of Bedfordshire, said the trial was not intended to explore a replacement of human carers with robots, but to help fill lonely periods when, because of stretched social care systems, staff do not have time to keep residents company. So, Ian, we've broached this topic once before, and I have a funny feeling I once asked my dearly departed grandmother whether she would ever want to be kept company by a robot, and my memory was, her answer was something like, would I bollocks? She probably put it more politely than that, but I don't remember her being thrilled with the prospect. But there are a couple of questions that I have around this, because the assertion, at least here, is that deployment would not cost a nurse's job because it's essentially being trialled as a complementary presence within a care home. And the Guardian story, a little lower down, there was some figures. One of these Pepper robots with the appropriate software would have a cost of about £19,000, which, as the Guardian also wrote, is about £1,000 less than the average salary of a care worker working in Southeast England. Now, that doesn't cover what I think would be extraneous costs. For example, what about support and repairs? Or if one falls onto an old person, like there are lots and lots of things that a human would be able to do in that situation that a robot can't and would incur costs if it did. So I think there are lots of questions here, but it does seem at least that the evidence now is that this can help. Do you have any elderly relatives, Ian, that you think might benefit from being talked to by a robot?
Not so much anymore, I'm afraid. But I think it's kind of sad in a way. I can see the value of it. Like I think there's lots of things that you can do to help lonely people and to sort of give them something to connect with, and I think this is a sweet enough idea. I don't have a problem with it. There are a few things that bother me about this. First of all, how is it possible that a job pays £20,000 a year when it's responsible for you know, the happiness and well-being of you know, our cherished old people who've made a wonderful contribution to the country and then get stuffed away in homes. I mean, not always because people don't care about them, but because it can be very difficult to look after people, especially as they age. And, you know, and sometimes the medical staff are the best places, you know, people to do that in proper institutions. But I just I think it's a bit sad. I also wonder if it's strictly necessary. I think I've certainly heard of people talking about things like Alexa and things like that having potential to be a good source of company for older people, which is a possibility. I mean, you know, is a robot any better than that? Is this about conversation and chat, or having something in front of you to talk to?
It's a bit of both. It's definitely a bit of both, according to the write-ups I've seen.
So, yes, I mean, I think there's all sorts of opportunities here. I think technology could be an enormously useful tool for, you know, helping people. Also, animals. I've recently encountered a number of good causes that use animals. I'll give you one story. There was a dementia charity that introduced someone with dementia to a dog, and they had a lot of trouble remembering faces, but they were able to remember this dog, and they took the dog from the place where they went to the care home, and the elderly person remembered the dog immediately, even though they had a lot of trouble with people. So there's all sorts of things that can sort of cut through you know, dementia, and you know, give people something to look forward to, and something to, you know, that they can remember. It's remarkable, really. Also, music plays a big part.
Well, M. Rosal in our live chat, listening to us live, shared an interesting link that robotic cats have shown to be anecdotally effective in helping keeping people well and happy in care homes. He shared a link to a website I certainly have never been on before, carehomeprofessional.com, where there is a quote from a senior care worker at, where are they? This is the Wicksteed Court Care Home in Kettering, which is in Northamptonshire. And Patricia, the care worker, is quoted as saying, "The introduction of William the robotic cat for our residents has been amazing. Many of our residents previously had pets before they required care, so they were all very excited to spend time with William as he brings back fond memories for them. We've noticed our residents have become calmer, less anxious, and also socially more socially engaged and upbeat." But of course, and that's end quote, comes with the bonus that robotic cats rarely produce fecal matter.
Yes.
They very rarely vomit. I've certainly not seen any models that cough up hairballs either. So I can see many advantages there. We're in early days here, and Ian and I are not qualified to talk about the sort of medical and psychiatric benefits, having never worked in care homes and never deployed robots in care homes. But there may be somebody who is listening and can comment to uktechshow@icloud.com if you have any experience with this kind of story. The BBC wrote that a Tesco drone delivery trial will see small items dropped off at customers' homes within 30 minutes of ordering. This will be based at Tesco's Oranmore store, which is in County Galway, which is in Ireland, Northern Ireland. And the drones will deliver small baskets of goods to people in the local area. Now, these are drones supplied by a company called Manor Aero, which runs medicine delivery trials in Ireland, and this will launch next month. They can fly at about 50 miles an hour, that's about 80 kilometres an hour, and deliver up to 9 pounds or 4 kilograms of shopping in a cargo cassette. Never heard it described as that before. I just call it a posh box that's lowered from the drone, and it can do a mile in about 3 minutes. Again, this is all according to the BBC explanation. And Manor had planned to do takeaway food delivery trials earlier in the year, but changed the focus to medicine because of the coronavirus pandemic, and it now delivers prescriptions and other essential supplies in the town of Monegal. Now, what's funny, well, it's not that funny, well, not laugh out loud funny, unless you have a very warped sense of humour, is that I have spoken to the CEO of this company, a chap called Bobby Healy, and a few months ago, he was saying to me that this was sort of always the long-term idea, which is to kind of be like a white label service for businesses who are like, well, we've got this thing, this product that we want to sell, but it's not really financially feasible on a sort of a unit economics level, if you like, to have a person show up on a bike and put it in their bag and then drive to a place. Whereas there are many businesses who do just want to sell like £3 or £4 worth of stuff, as in cost pounds, not weight pounds, of stuff. And so they may contract a company like Manor to install a little fulfillment center next to their shop, let's say, that can just sort of send little parcels around a local area. And although it was used initially for medicine, it's nice to see that they are actually partnering with some bigger companies and rolling out this wider business model, which, if it works well, I think could be used for so many companies in a way that things like Amazon Prime, is it Amazon Prime Air or Prime Yep. Now Air or Air Prime? I forget with the nomenclature of Amazon products, but that's only ever really going to benefit Amazon and customers of Amazon, whereas something like this uses a similar technology in terms of the drones, the quadcopter things, or octocopters, they may be actually.
And, well, the one that I've seen is a quad, but I mean, that's irrelevant really, isn't it?
I think it is a quad. I can't remember. I sometimes use quadcopters as a bit of a catch-all for any kind of aerial drone.
Yeah.
Some of them have six and some of them have eight propellers, don't they?
Yes.
And I know this company did a trial, I want to say it was earlier this year. At least it was earlier this year when the CEO told me anyway, where they delivered ice cream. I think it might have been a Ben & Jerry's. And they wanted to basically prove that you could order just a tub of ice cream and it would arrive quickly enough and without melting in a very short amount of time to make it possible to say, I want a tub of ice cream from a shop, but I don't want to walk 2 miles to go and get it. So they can literally pay someone a pound or something to deliver an ice cream in a drone and be with you in a few minutes. It's very promising, particularly for rural places that aren't going to get any other kind of logistics service from the likes of Amazon.
And also, I think given the current situation, it might be useful to have people not going out quite as much. So there are some definite benefits to this. It is quite a good idea. I just think that the weight is so limited with these things that a meaningful amount of stuff is going to be difficult. But
that's kind of the point, right? Is that this, it's very rare. I mean, what would you ever buy from Amazon that you would need within 30 minutes and weighs more than 4 kilograms?
I mean, first of all, literally everything I buy from Amazon I want within 30 minutes because I'm impatient. This has been instilled in me by the modern world. So there's nothing that I wouldn't want to be delivered by drone if that was a possibility. But yes, I take your point. I mean, here's a thing I've been thinking of recently. We've been, you know, told a great deal about how important it is that we go back to work to save the economy. And I can see the value of that. You know, there are shops that are really struggling and that's a big problem. And, you know, it's very sad to watch. However, this is one of the things that occurred to me was, think about the restaurant chain Pret. There are so many Prets in central London, aren't there? You know, you can almost throw a stone from one Pret to another in the city, in the sort of central bit of London. And that's possibly true of other cities as well, but perhaps not with that particular chain. And I'm thinking, well, so part of the problem the way this is built is it's servicing a need that probably doesn't exist anymore. That, you know, this big centralized hub, and now we're seeing lots of sort of people staying at home. And that doesn't mean there are fewer people out, you know, needing to be fed. It just means that they're at home, so they're having a slice of Mighty White with a miserable piece of cheese betwixt the two slices. Anyway, so I'm thinking, you know, what is the ideal use case for a drone is something like lunch, isn't it? It's like, yeah. You know, so for me, you know, Kingston is close to me, but it's a bit too far to drive for lunch. So could a drone come over and bring me, you know, some a nice lunch? I think yes. And I think that that could be the answer to the problem, is that the shops that were in central London need not to be anymore. They need to think, well, this isn't going to work anymore, at least not in the same number as it does now. How can we save the business? And the answer to that is to move out of central London into the sort of more suburby bits that serve London, where people live, and then, you know, you perhaps use drones to deliver food to people. It would be a wonderful idea, I think.
It would work, and there may be some people listening in cities and thinking, well, paying a small fee to have a lunch brought to you, that sounds awfully like Deliveroo or Uber Eats or something.
But it the does.
The difference is that no one on Deliveroo can make a business sending you a £2.50 sandwich. It's not going to work. Whereas a drone in this instance can, or just one coffee. If you wanted a Starbucks or a better coffee, and that's all you wanted, like no one's going to fire that up on Deliveroo and just sell you one coffee and have someone cycle a coffee to you. But that's what this is designed to be able to do. And there are some people in the live chat making suggestions of things you might want within 30 minutes, but that do weigh more than 4 kilograms. Pangolin Sandwich says bags of cat food or dog food. I know what she means, because those packs, when you're feeding a cat or a dog for like a week, may be very, very big and very heavy. But I think the idea is, well, what if you just need one bag of food? Just one thing,
I mean,
you know.
Like, you've realised that you haven't got any pooch food, and you think, oh, it's late, the shops are all shut, blah, blah, blah. I must have some dog food for first thing in the morning for my little Bruce. Press the button, sachet of dog food turns up. Delivery cost would be minimal because the thing, you know, doesn't cost that much to run. Probably could deliver other things to other people, you know, at the same time, perhaps. I don't know how. I'm sure there's a modular way of doing it. It seems like it could potentially be an exciting way of doing it. I don't know what the legislation is like on this kind of thing, and it's only going to be a matter of time before someone either fires something and knocks one of these drones out the sky, or one crashes into a house or a car or causes a catastrophe of some kind. I mean, it is all possible, but I guess we have to try and march forward with technology. And
Well, John Evans asks, would this be a way of making buying physical video games quicker than downloading them? It could, but then of course we rely on high street shops wanting to stay open for the specific purposes of droning a DVD disc to somebody. So I can't see that working.
What the point I was making with Pret is that the world has changed, and we're going to have to rethink a lot of things. And, you know, if we want businesses to be, you know, to stay active and to keep making money, they're going to have to contend with the reality of the world. And I think that, you know, there is a lot of possibility here for, you know, I mean, I would also say that the fundamental principle behind Uber Eats and Deliveroo actually as a business model doesn't really work. It is currently essentially being run at a loss, isn't it? The whole thing is, it's Silicon Valley is subsidizing, or whatever the British version of Silicon Valley is for Deliveroo, is sort of subsidizing this you know, this thing that doesn't make any sense as a business model, because you have to pay people to deliver. I think it makes much more sense to have a centralized place where, you know, maybe drone operators or something like that. They send the drone to the shop and then to you. You know, there's fewer of them, but they're better paid. It's much more of a sustainable business model. I don't think that the way things are now is intended for long-term success. That's my skeptical view.
You made me think about things. I've been trying to think of things you could use this drone ordering system for that you wouldn't use Deliveroo for. And it reminded me, Kate and I have been watching through Friends from season one recently. And there was a scene that we joked a little bit about where two of the men are standing in a room arguing over who was going to get the last condom in the apartment. And it was a funny scene. That would be a brilliant use for a drone like this, because the drone could probably literally, you wouldn't even have to get out of bed.
Yep.
You could just wait for the drone to fly it through the window for you. You know, there's probably a sitcom episode just in that.
Well, or drop it down your chimney, maybe. I mean, that we've got these chimneys on a lot of houses. They're not really used for anything anymore. Why don't we make that into sort of like a funnel or something, and you just drop whatever you've ordered into the funnel, and it's... I mean, you could have a little sort of elevator thing. It just conveyed down. It could be quite useful, I think. I'm very excited about this possibility.
Ketchup. That's something that I've been caught out in the last minute. Now, I don't live walking distance to a shop. Well, I do, but not walking distance that wouldn't mean that my dinner was cold when I got back to it. But if I was able to just, within a few minutes, get just a bottle of ketchup droned to me from a nearby store, my dinner would still be warm.
Yeah.
And I could get that. But again, you wouldn't do that with Deliveroo. You couldn't do that with Ocado or any of these services. So that would work. So there are lots of uses for this, I think. And Pangolin Sandwich in the chat says, oh yeah, remember when you made me drive to the shop to buy you ketchup? No, I can't remember that. I'm sure it happened.
Toilet roll. Toilet roll is the answer. You're on the toilet and you realise you haven't got any. So you get a drone to send some.
So we've established that basically this is for use for ketchup, toilet roll and condoms. Makes you wonder if you'd have just planned ahead, you could have ordered those in
well,
advance.
Yeah, I mean, that's all true. And of course, you know, planning is the solution to all of these problems, isn't it? The amount of times I've sort of sat down and looked at something on Amazon, I thought I should buy that. I'm gonna probably want that in a couple of days, weeks, or whatever. And I think no, it can wait. And then the thing runs out, or you know, I suddenly have an urgent need for it. Yeah, you can't get people to plan things. It's just not a thing.
Well, I was just laughing at Ian's comment in the live chat. And if the drone was too slow, it would need to be wet wipes. You're my brother. Who I won't embarrass him, but he does like to use wet wipes on his posterior regardless. Anyway, I'll leave that to him. Go and tweet him at BatteryHQ. Tell him I've told you. What would you like to have delivered through your window via a Manor drone? You can let us know by sending us a message to uktechshow@icloud.com. Microsoft announced the impending addition of games from the EA Play subscription service to its own Xbox Game Pass, according to a write-up on the Next Web, amongst many others. And these new titles will be available to Game Pass subscribers at no additional cost. The website wrote that EA Play will join the Game Pass lineup this holiday, according to a Microsoft blog post, which is assumed to mean sometime around the 10th of November launch of the new Xbox Series S. That's the little cute mini one. The move adds more than 60 EA games to Microsoft's 100-plus existing Game Pass titles, including popular franchises such as Madden, The Sims, Battlefield, and Need for Speed. But don't worry, it also has some good franchises in there, like Dragon Age, Mass Effect, Crysis, and Dead Space, so no problem. Now, the reason we're talking about this, because it's not ostensibly a UK-specific story at all, is partly because it's a slow news week, but partly because I'm just very, very, very interested in this story and excited by it. And I think people should be interested in it, even if they're not gamers, because this is probably one of the first times we could see something properly rivaling basically any other way of getting games.
Weirdly, because I agree with you completely. This is one of the most interesting stories of the last week.
It's, I mean, given that this is what, it would cost about, is it 10 quid a month? Something like that?
£15 a month? Well, it depends, doesn't it? There are various things, but I mean, I think it would be remiss of us not to mention the pricing model for Xbox anyway, which is, I believe it's something like 30 quid a month will get you an Xbox Series X and the game subscription with the EA thing included.
Yeah, and the EA is being added at no extra charge to people like me who are already paying for Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
And the games, well, not all games work on PC and Xbox, but the ones that are developed for both, you get both for the same price. And, you know, if you're using the Stadia, that's Google, isn't it? The xCloud, I think that's going to form part of this as well. And for me, the appeal of potentially having an Xbox subscription service that includes all the Microsoft games, first party games, which get released on it on day one, the same day the discs hit the stores and the download stores, as well as the EA Play library, all of that stuff for the same monthly price. I mean, that is a very, very compelling offer. PlayStation, to my knowledge, does not offer anything that comes close to that. And Steam doesn't have a subscription service unless it's for individual publishers that you're paying separately. And wow. What a deal.
I think the thing about this whole thing is that it's going to completely change how people, you know, I think having a subscription is something that people are familiar with. Now, obviously, we are also getting a little bit tired of it. I'm certainly monthly looking at the amount of money I'm spending on various subscriptions and thinking, oh, this is exhausting. But it is a better way of doing things for me than, you know, endlessly buying series on, you know, I don't know, DVD or whatever. But this whole thing just feels like a really great way of getting people to subscribe. I mean, the whole thing just feels very exciting.
And there are a few things that make it particularly exciting for me. So for one thing, in fact, I'll tell you a little secret here. Well, it's not really a secret. Steam, or rather Valve, used to give out to journalists what did they call it now? The Steam Press Master.
Yes.
Which I had for quite a long time.
Have you not got it anymore?
Well, I haven't told you this.
Oh.
Yeah, this is brand new information. But basically, it was a way, for someone who's writing about games a lot, which I was, this was back when I was at Wired, and it's basically just the entire Steam library is just applied to your account. So you just download anything. Doesn't cost you a penny. And it was always incredibly helpful because you could dip in and out and you could get your screen captures if you needed to capture something for a video. And that's why everyone really has it. But they also didn't tend to remove them from people's accounts when they moved publications. So it sort of sat there on my account. And every now and again, when I wanted to play a PC game, I can just apply it to the account and it's there. But I recently, it was recently removed from my account. And
oh,
yeah, so I lost that, and there's not really much I can do to appeal because I didn't really use it anyway that much because I don't play that many PC games, and I have Xbox Game Pass, and I like gaming on the Xbox. So this news has sort of come at a very interesting time for me where it's like, well, now all my gaming is going to be on Xbox. So that's one reason that it's exciting.
Did they take away all the games you already had?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
Not the ones that I paid for, because some of the games I paid for. And those ones obviously are still on the account, and that's not a problem. And to be honest with you, the only games I play these days are ones I paid for anyway. So it was a wasted thing for me to have on my account, really.
That's really interesting. And I mean, I'm obviously acutely aware of the fact that they probably would have had a condition in there when they sent the thing out saying, yeah, this isn't forever. Like, we can remove this at any time. I'm surprised that they did, but I can also see why, because it probably was having a big financial impact.
I doubt it. It was very rare that people got these, and they would limit them to like one per publication. And I do know other people who have got them and still have them, but I told a couple of the people who I know have got them, and they're all really nervous now because they reckon that Steam is just going, Valve is just going around all the accounts and just revoking them. So who knows? I didn't get a comment when I asked.
Weirdly, Valve. I've still got the all Valve games one. So when Half-Life Alyx came out, I got that for free. So I don't know whether or not there's a licensing issue, whether the, you know, companies have started to question the fact that you could pick any game from any publisher. But as far as I know, the Valve one is still operating. But I mean, who knows? It could go away. I could lose access to the games that they've given me. I mean, I've probably bought most of the ones I want anyway. I certainly bought Half-Life 2, which is the last game of theirs that I've been able to or wanted to play. I can't play Alyx because I don't have VR. But anyway, that's a complete aside.
John in our chat room, who used to write about games, actually had one of these apparently too. I didn't know this until he just mentioned it, but he says his are all gone as well. I think maybe this is a purge. But anyway, the point is I pay for Xbox Game Pass, and that's why I tend to use that for my gaming. But the other thing is that I use this app, and I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, called OneCast, and it's an app that's essentially a remote desktop tool or a second screen tool, but specifically for the Xbox. And I have that on my iPad, which means I don't have to use the TV for my Xbox gaming if I don't want to. I can turn the console on, turn the controller on, but actually just use the iPad as a very, very low latency screen. And I play a lot of the times if someone else is using the TV in the same room, and I just pop that on, and it does audio as well, and you don't have to use a controller. It will use an on-screen controller if you haven't got one. So that's great for like gaming in the bedroom or just gaming if you're in the room with someone watching TV. And it was quite an expensive app. I think it was like 10 or 15 quid, which is, you know, quite a lot for an app these days, but definitely well worth it. And for all those reasons, very excited about what Xbox or Microsoft is doing with Xbox Game Pass.
But here's a question then. Will you be getting the Series X on that monthly subscription thing? Because that's basically another £20 a month or something you'll be paying on top, and you'll get a brand new console, which you'll own at the end.
My intention is to just buy the console and pay for the software subscription.
Fair enough. Some people said it might actually be cheaper to do the subscription thing. Like, it might work out.
It's not so much about whether it's cheaper or not. It's more to do with the fact that I just don't want to keep seeing more monthly stuff coming out of my account. I have enough of them, and it's hard keeping track. So if I can just buy something outright first and get a deal on a subscription as part of that purchase, I'd probably rather do that. We welcome your feedback, as always. Any thoughts you have on this, you can let us know. UKTechShow@iCloud.com.
You're used to hearing the smooth, velvet sound of Nate's voice drizzled over your ears like a warm eardrum syrup, topped off with the freshly squeezed citrus tang of an Ian Morris opinion. Supporters of the show at patreon.com/UKTech enjoy second helpings every week. So pull up a chair, find your nearest spoon, and tuck into a sumptuous extra helping with no commitment. If you have any allergies, please inform a waiter.
Well, we had a little bit of feedback from an episode last week that I did with Andy, because you were busy down at your... Was it a palm reading convention you'd gone to, Ian, or was it one of your tarot card anonymous meetups?
No, I was learning how to divine water, actually. I'm thinking that come the apocalypse, I'm going to need to use a sort of stick to find water.
Water. I knew it was something frivolous and strange. Anyway, while you were out busy doing more important things, we had an email come in from Mr. Shouty, who's also one of our patrons. So thank you, Mr. Shouty, for this email. His name is Andy as well. Because we were talking last week about trust in online reviews and ways to spot a bad one. He writes in and says, "Hi Nate, following the latest episode, I felt compelled to share a service with you and fellow patrons that I found extremely useful when perusing potential purchases, fakespot.com. He says the site or app or Chrome extension provides analysis of reviews, a rating from A to F for how many are genuine, and an adjusted rating if there are enough real reviews from which to discern as such. Hope this is helpful." And that comes from Andy, a.k.a. Mr. Shouty the Patron. And I had heard of fakespot.com. I've never used it myself, but he's not the only person who suggested it. So maybe that's something to look at. And if anyone has an experience of using FakeSpot, I like the idea of a Chrome extension, as presumably that offers some kind of inline, real-time grading of online reviews. That sounds like a very good idea. Yeah. If anyone's got any really good or bad experiences using that, I'd love to hear those. And we can talk about those on next week's show, UKTechShow@iCloud.com, which is where Mr. Shouty sent it to. Right, we need to check in with Mr. Tom Merritt of Daily Tech News Show and find out what's been going on in the wider world of tech over the last week.
This week on Daily Tech News Show, we combed over all the Microsoft announcements about the Xbox Series X and Xbox Series S, and also tried to figure out why they named them so similarly. We discussed the game PUBG's plans to overcome a block in India, weighed the chances of U.S. laws on safe harbor changing, also weighed the chances of TikTok getting a deal to sell its U.S. operations, spoiler, chances are almost zero, and we talked about our favorite future tech innovations, from mind control earbuds to superhuman vision glasses to pills that track your health. All of that and much more at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
Do you know what they didn't talk about, Ian?
What's that? No.
They didn't talk about... innovations in electronic automatically extending and contracting shoehorns.
No, I think this is an area that people are just ignoring, and my patience with it is starting to wear thin, frankly.
Thanks, Ian.
My pleasure,
mate. That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I did want to flag, actually, on Extra Message this week, which is the sister show that goes out to most of our patrons. Andy and I did a real-time, well, near real-time review of the new Bill and Ted Face the Music film. Spoiler-free, so it's easy for anyone to listen to if you've not seen that yet. But we've had some very good feedback about that review.
Good. Excellent.
In fact, Ian in our Discord right now says, that was an awesome extra message. So there you go. If you're not getting extra message or you're not a patron, there's a real-time teaser to tempt you in. But that's available at patreon.com/UKTech. And thank you to all of our patrons. You keep us motivated and excited and happy and basically just in love with you all. Not in a creepy way, just a very platonic, loving, calm, friend-like way. And we'll be back in another week, I suppose, won't we, Ian?
No, that's the hope.
Toodles!